You're listening to CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.
You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Teneri, professional engineer, professional futurist, and sometimes occasional sessional instructor of future studies at Simon Fraser University. And this is a weekly show that looks at future trends and issues and important items that affect your daily life and will be affecting your life into the future. Welcome to the show. We're continuing our look at the book, The Purpose Effect, Building Meaning in Yourself, Your Role, and Your Organization by Dan Pontefract. Last show, we were looking at Communitas, a community of purpose. And the conclusion was, as various companies plot their courses for the future, the question they will have to ask is if their previously established mission and core values will continue so that they remain committed to balancing purpose with profit. Will they remain in their sweet spot? Will all stakeholders continue to be served, delivering value across the board to their customers? Or will the organization succumb to maximizing shareholder value, an affliction that so many publicly traded companies alarmingly succumb to, ultimately failing to shine the lighthouse light in such a plight? As an example, John McKay, the co-CEO of the company Whole Foods, believes that in the long run, being purpose-driven produces business benefits. He once wrote, quote, "Although it may seem counterintuitive, the best way to maximize profits over the long term is not to make them the primary goal of the business," unquote. Indeed, this is similar feedback to what Mike Desjardins of Vertrish shared. Only time will tell if Rifkin's point about self-interest and a drive for material gain is lurking inside of Etsy, a company that arguably has already demonstrated the purpose effect. Next section, cooking up purpose. Quote, "We weren't really putting purpose first. We were almost lying to ourselves, faking it," unquote. Those were not the words I was expecting to hear from Brenda Rigney, Vice President of People Operations at Earls, but she expressed them nonetheless. Quote, "We used to make promises about our purpose and culture, and then we wouldn't do it," she continued. "We didn't know how to make purpose intentional, so we consciously decided to change things. We decided to focus on purpose, on our purpose effect, so that our employees would understand it and bring it forward to our customers." Earls commenced operations in 1982, opening its doors and first location in Edmonton, Alberta, as a family-style restaurant. These days, Earls restaurants can be found in over 60 different cities, including Chicago, Toronto, Miami, Vancouver, Denver, and Calgary. It employs over 7,000 people across North America who cook and serve food to over 10 million customers each year. Quote, "We didn't know what we stood for," end quote, continued Brenda. What were we proud of? How does that fit with the employee life cycle? None of it was clear or intentional. So we had to reestablish our brand, operationalize our culture, and define our purpose. The story of Earl's Restaurants Limited is one of transition to eventually create a sweet spot. When Mo Jessa was promoted to president 25 years after starting the company as a prep cook, he and Brenda began discussing what was needed to make Earl's the career destination place of choice for young people in North America. It was a tall order, you might say. Earl's refers to its team members as partners, and in order to attract new ones and to retain those already working there, Mo and Brenda felt they had to sort out its purpose. Until partners see a correlation with what they want in life, with what Earl wants, said Brenda, in order to get partners to buy in, we wanted to experience of working at Earl's to be real, attainable, and something that partners wanted themselves. We wanted employees to feel as though Earl's was an integral part of their life. One of the first actions of the company took was to redefine its purpose through development of a new purpose statement. It reads, "We believe in people living large, purposeful lives filled with fun." Another transitional action it took was to define new leadership commitments. These commitments were integrity, the assurance of an ethical environment for all partners. You can expect this. Authenticity, what we say we're going to do is what we do. Authenticity is continuous. Something bigger than yourself. Don't talk behind the backs of people. Do everything possible to be present in the moment. Cause in the matter. Be the center of change, the epicenter of doing. Everyone can be a leader. From there, the company began working with legions of chefs, cooks, servers, and managers to discuss, teach, and learn about purpose and the organization's wishes to improve its operating practices. One particular story Brenda shared with me outlined the benefit of restating its organizational purpose and how it affected the company's bottom line. There was one Earl's location in particular that was really suffering. Sales were declining. The morale and engagement of its partners was low. And there were some customer service issues that began to percolate. The store was on the verge of collapsing. Tough decisions had to be made. A general manager who had been in the location for the previous 10 years was moved to another restaurant. A new general manager was brought into the struggling restaurant, one who had recently been educated about the new purpose mission of Earl's, who adopted the practices right away, and her work began to pay immediate dividends. After only 3 months, sales began to increase sharply. 3 months after that, profits began to increase too. Not surprisingly, team members' engagement scores went from the low 30s to 75%, and customer satisfaction was repaired as well. This new general manager simply believed in a purpose-driven and fun environment, caring about the partners, the guests, the community, and herself, said Brenda. She just began knocking it out of the park for us. Ever the pragmatist, Brenda concluded, "We're always trying to help leaders and partners see the purpose light, but return on investment and better numbers do not come overnight. Everyone has to be patient. It's about people, not robots. And it's these people who have to choose, learn, and make mistakes. Purpose is not going to happen instantaneously." Continuing her pragmatism in late 2015, Brenda took on another personal purpose challenge, accepting the position of vice president of people operations at Nurse Next Door, a local home care provider. With 100 locations in Canada and the United States and growing, the company provides quality home care assistance that is about caring, not just health care. As Brenda remarked, this role fits perfectly within my plan to gain global opportunities and to diversify my industry experience. I loved my time with Earls and their leaders and transforming the way we think about development, culture, and our soul. Earls will redefine careers for young people in the hospitality industry for years to come. Indispensable purpose through disposable diapers. The story of Earls reminds us that continual effort is required on behalf of the organization, specifically its senior leaders who own the organization's strategy and purpose, and of team members who own their personal purpose, if the sweet spot is to be achieved for both parties. But so too, it exposes another fundamental discovery. As with Unilever, any organization currently devoid of a balanced mission will have to enter into a period of transition in order to reach the sweet spot. For-profit organizations may have to solve the imbalance between the need for profit and defining a higher purpose. Some not-for-profit and public sector organizations may have to sort out how to balance power, bureaucracy, and the shift to a higher purpose. In any event, it is a transition to such a state. Authors Teresa Amabile and Stephen Kramer state in their book, The Progress Principle, quote, "Of all the events that engage people at work, the single most important by far is simply making progress at meaningful work." While this point is undoubtedly helpful, as I have argued throughout the purpose effect, meaningful work comes when there is an alignment between personal, organizational, and role purpose. Earls recognized this potential and set about a transition path in which to put it into motion. However, Unilever did the same by focusing on community and societal improvements, only to see team member engagement and various financial metrics correspondingly improve. But what happens if you are an individual seeking to transition? Meet Kim Graham Nye. Quote, "When I arrived in Australia, I needed money, so I ended up in telecommunications selling airtime." Quote, Kim said, "The money was great, extremely profitable, in fact, but the job quickly became meaningless. I would also have to lie to people. I wouldn't even tell them I was in telecommunications or what my job was. From there, it got worse. I became solely focused on money. My soul became empty and I got sick. I started asking myself, how did I go from being about meaning to being about money?" Kim was a 25-year-old recent immigrant to Sydney trying to figure out her personal purpose. Growing up in Canada, she was supported by two loving parents who provided many lessons in the balance between meaning and a living. When Kim was 12 years old, for example, she witnessed her dad quit his high-paying but somewhat less meaningful job. He did so in order to marry his passions and personal purpose by taking an elite athlete coaching position. It was a pay cut for the family, but it was an early example for Kim to learn from. It was an example of someone who was not in it for the money, but for the pursuit and accomplishment of all facets of the purpose effect. During her early days in Sydney, Kim and Jason, they eventually married. Between them for several years, they held various positions, hunting for their personal purpose to materialize. It was an arduous time, but they never lost hope. They continued to develop, define, and decide who they wanted to be in this planet. In the early days, Jason was a stockbroker, and although very good at it, he recognized something was missing too. Together, they decided to make some changes. So Kim sold the telecommunications business she had started, and Jason started stockbroking. As Kim suggested, Jason observed our lives were a mess and that we had to make a change. They began writing a book about great dates in Sydney. Jason also became a Japanese language teacher. Kim launched an events management company. They began cleaning homes in order to make a mortgage payment. It continued to be a trying time. There was loads of stress, of wasting time, and not knowing where we were going, she said. Very deliberately, they next decided to have children. Our grandparents thought we were absolutely crazy when we announced we were pregnant, said Kim. I recall a few of these conversations, most ending with, quote, "What the hell are you two doing with your lives? You can't bring children into this world," unquote. But what Kim and Jason were adamant about was not caring about how people would see them in the world. Rather, what types of contributions they could make in order to improve the world. As it turns out, the first child was a catalyst to finally unleashing their personal purpose and to improving the world. Shortly after giving birth, the couple were shocked by the waste caused by baby diapers. Kim said, "We found out that millions of disposable diapers are being thrown away into landfills, and these same diapers utilize 20 times more raw materials than cloth diapers. It also took 500 years for one diaper to biodegrade. We had to do something. It got personal really quick. We had found our calling." In 2005, the couple moved from Sydney to Portland, Oregon, and launched G-Diapers, a disposable and home compostable diaper inserts company. Licensing technology from one inventor and biochemist in Tasmania, the family set into motion a plan to start up a business that was ideally about to fulfill their personal purpose alongside a new type of organizational purpose. From there, they wanted to ensure that their role purpose would be in alignment with two other categories. The ultimate question of whether they could finally achieve the sweet spot that they had been seeking. Equally important, Kim and Jason began building the company, ensuring family, society, and business could go together. Yes, they had to make a profit, but they wanted to ensure there was balance among all stakeholders. They employed fair dinkum, an Australian term that calls on people to be genuine with everyone that they work with. Fair dinkum is our bottom line, our values, said Kim. It affects how we conduct our business, how we interact with people, and how we care for the planet. We believe being genuine, real, and honest, while demonstrating integrity in everything we do, is everything we ought to be doing. Some 10 years later, G Diapers is continuing its mission, and its founders remain steadfast in living their lives with purpose. They remain grounded, yet committed to organizational and role purpose as well. Their G Diapers term is also thriving with real purpose. They even moved back to Australia with the business operating globally. It's this unwavering belief in the pursuit of greater good, doing business differently, Kim described, that makes us believe our customers will continue to connect with those values wherever they are, perhaps whenever and wherever they are. She added, "And if, for whatever reason, G Diapers isn't meant to be, we can take these learnings of the past decade and go do something else. It's our life. We own it. We own our purpose now." The story of G Diapers and Kim and Jason is one of transition from liminality to communitas, the sweet spot. As individuals, they spent years developing, defining, and deciding who they were, what they were about, and how they were going to approach their lives. They transitioned, eventually coming to a point in which they would state that their personal purpose was all about. When the idea of G Diapers presented itself, they purposely created an organization through the notion of fair dinkum, their variant of the good deeds, as a basis for how they wanted to operate. When their personal purpose and the organizational purpose were aligned, their own roles and those of team members consistently resulted in purpose mindset. Yes, there were times when the roles became tedious or even difficult, components of the job and career mindsets. But Kim and Jason have never allowed the overarching misalignment between personal, organizational, and role purpose to come to fruition. Certainly not to the level that they experienced during those days of cleaning houses and teaching Japanese a decade prior. The example of G diapers of Kim and Jason's background illustrates the purpose effect in full. The alignment of personal, organizational, and role purpose is not easy, but nor is it completely out of reach, as Kim and Jason demonstrate. While this story provides some illustrations of what to do and what not to do, the final chapter of this book will summarize and highlight additional guidance for team members and organizations aiming to create the sweet spot, otherwise known in this chapter as communitas. You are listening to CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby, and you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, Instructor of Future Studies at Simon Fraser University. We're now going to take a short break and listen to a very important public service announcement.
With thousands of homeless animals entering SPCA shelters each year, pet overpopulation is a serious problem in BC. But it's one you can help prevent. Spay or neuter your companion animal today. From our perspective, every homeless animal on our streets or in our shelters is one too many. For more information on spaying and neutering initiatives, visit the BC SPCA website at www.spca.bc.ca.
Welcome back. You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, 93.9 Cable FM in Burnaby. And you are listening to Future Talk with your host, Dr. Paul Tenery, professional futurist.
Welcome back. We are looking at the book, The Purpose Effect, Building Meaning in Yourself, Your Role, and Your Organization, by Dan Pontefract. We're now in Chapter 9, Sweet Spot Guidance. It is in the character of growth that we should learn both from pleasant and unpleasant experiences. Nelson Mandela. What man actually needs is not a tensionless state, but rather the striving and struggling for some goal worthy of him. What he needs is not the discharge of tension at any cost, but the call of a potential meaning, wanting to be fulfilled by him. Viktor Frankl. Marshall McLuhan, the Canadian scholar and media theorist, was famous for coining terms such as the global village and the medium is the message. His thinking is often taken for granted, but in fact, it was his work and research during the 1960s and 70s that paved the way for the forms of collaboration and communication we are witnessing today, constantly connected by internet-fueled society. One aspect of McLuhan's research, less well known, is his tetrad of media effects, which are featured in his posthumous 1988 book, The Laws of Media. Tetrad simply means a group of four. McLuhan's tetrad was written to help explain the effects technology can have on society. McLuhan proposed four questions, i.e., the tetrad, that helped to explain how technology was changing life itself. Co-authoring the book with his son Eric, they wrote, quote, "We propose no underlying theory to attack or defend, but rather a heuristic device, a set of four questions we call the tetrad. They can be asked by anyone, anywhere, at any time, without any human artifact." The questions they posed were as follows. What does it enhance or intensify? What does it render obsolete or displace? What does it retrieve that was previously obsolescent? What does it produce or become when pressed to an extreme? It was not until I put the concept of the purpose effect through these four questions that the final working thesis for the book clicked into place, allowing me to both sharpen and broaden my thinking. This related to how I thought about purpose in general terms, as well as about personal, organizational, and role purpose specifically. The Tetrad's questions enabled me to treat the concept of purpose as an artifact, any object made by a human being, but also to lead me to a key lesson. Purpose is all about people. The results of the purpose effect Tetrad are as follows. What does the purpose effect enhance or intensify? Answer: to develop, define, and decide one's personal self becomes core to the purpose journey. All stakeholders benefit when organizational purpose is revised to include the good deeds. Society prospers when personal, organizational, and role purposes are aligned for the majority of team members in the organizations they serve. The purpose mindset becomes a continuous transition, always in motion, disentangled from the status quo. Next question. What does the purpose effect render obsolete or displace? Wider disillusionment regarding the true purpose of the organization. Disentanglement and potentially life dissatisfaction for the team members. Increasingly levels of societal issues, mental, physical, emotional, financial. Widening gaps in pay and power and decreasing levels of productivity and innovation. What does the purpose effect retrieve that was previously obsolesced? There is only one valid definition of business purpose: to create a customer, Peter Drucker. Communityship. Effective organizations are communities, human beings, not collections of human resources. Henry Mintzberg. The capacity to hold two opposing ideas at once, then generating a new one that contains elements of the others, is superior to both. Roger Martin. The purpose of a business, in other words, is not to make a profit, full stop. Charles Handy. And finally, what does the purpose effect produce or become when pressed to an extreme, i.e. the negative consequences due to the lack of purpose, job, paycheck, apathy, disregard, or career, laddering, bullying, greed, power, mindsets, increasing levels of team member disengagement and disillusionment, harm to society by insistence on shareholder and bureaucratic supremacy, dearth of personal purpose, continuing confusion, self-identity, leading to angst, health issues, and lack of fulfillment. We're going to continue looking at this in future shows, so please stay tuned.
You have been listening to Future Talk on CJSF 90.1 FM on your dial, 93.9 cable FM in Burnaby. And Future Talk is a weekly show on important issues that affect you and your future. And this is Dr. Teneri, professional futurist, reminding you that if you're not willing to make the effort to invent your own future, then others will be only too happy to invent it for you. See you next week.
CJSF Radio, Simon Fraser, 90.1 FM.